Good morning, church. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. What in the happy Sabbath? There we go. That's what I thought. Let's pray before I start real quick. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity you have given me to come here and share the things that you have done in my life that I could never have imagined in a million years. And I ask that your spirit may be upon me and that it may inspire me to speak the words that you want, and that it may not just be upon me, but upon the people, that they may gain understanding and they may have open hearts to the message that I'm going to speak to them. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to read two quick verses from two different books. This one is from Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. It says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow at speech and slow of tongue.' So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made the man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have I not the Lord?'" And the next one is from Acts chapter 6, verse 15. And it says, "And all who sat at the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel." So I'll get back to those real quick, but basically, just a little bit about myself. My name is Jose Miguel, and I say this all the time, but it's one name, just so everybody knows. It's like connected, but it's Jose Miguel, so if you ever see me, try and call me that, please. I grew up, well, everywhere, basically. I was born in Texas, but my dad was a pastor and an evangelist. And so he went traveling everywhere, and we used to live in this trailer. It was a lot of fun until we grew up and we couldn't fit in our beds. But I remember that my brothers had this room, and they had the bunk beds, but they were really small. And I was on the couch that extended. So when they grew up, they couldn't fit, but I was just in the couch, like just chilling, because I could fit in the whole couch. It was really cool. And Just a little story. When I was a kid, just so you get to know who I am, I had two older brothers, and so I'm the youngest. The youngest are the best, right? Yeah, right? Yeah, that's good. Technically the youngest are the worst to the oldest, but to me, they're the best because I'm the youngest. And I remember that my brothers would always, try and, tease me, and they'd, hit me and stuff, very softly at times. But, you know, I was the crybaby, right? And so eventually I got used to it, and I was like, why don't I turn this back against them? And I remember sometimes where my brothers would hit me, and then I'd look at them, I'd start crying, my parents would come, they're like, "What did you do? What did you do?" And they'd be like, "We barely touched him." And then they got him in trouble, and then as they left, I would give him this little look like, mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of kid I was. And just kind of fast forward all the way to high school. My senior year, I didn't really know what I was, or where I was going to go. I knew my calling, what it was, and it's to be a pastor. I figured that out a little early on, but I didn't know where to go. You know, that's the question. Which college can I go to? And I wasn't limited to certain colleges, but I was always focused on Adventist colleges. So it was either Southern, Andrews, Union, Pacific Union College, any of those. And I went to PUC Prep. So this is on the campus of PUC. And I remember the day that I was going to give in my deposit for PUC. I was like, yes, okay, I'm going to sign up for school, get all my classes done, and then I'll be good. And I remember for some reason, I don't know why, I always forget to write things down and I forget. But I got there and I got home and I remember, I was like, oh, I forgot to turn in my check. I didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay, I'll just turn it in tomorrow. But I began to think about it more. I was like, maybe this is a sign from God. And so I prayed to God, and I asked him for one of those big signs that's very obvious. And so I told God, because the next morning, two people were calling me. There was one from Pacific Union College and the enrollment person from Union, which is, at the time, it was Tyler Morrison. And I love Tyler. That guy's awesome. But anyway, I remember I prayed. I was like, all right, God, give me a sign. Whoever calls me first, this is the answer. And then I told him to give me another sign besides that. And so the next morning came, and I received the call from Tyler. We set up my classes. All right, this is a sign. But I was still kind of unsure. And that night I got home and I opened my mailbox and I remember seeing I had two letters, one from Union and one from PUC. And I opened the one from PUC, not to like bring them down or anything, but it was just like, congratulations, you made it to Pacific Union College. And then I got the one from Union and it was a box and I opened and there was candy and balloons and everything. And so it was, yeah, candies is what got me here basically. Yeah, and so it just kind of solidified my answer more, and I saw, like, this is the place I need to be. And then as I got here, there was this one distinct moment that I remember. I think it was my freshman year. It was when I first played piano again, because I grew up playing. I took some lessons for 5 years or so, but I wasn't that good. My teacher didn't teach me a lot, and so we kind of stopped, and then that year, I kind of wanted to pick it up again. I was like, why don't I see what I can do? And so I learned a ton of chords, scales, and stuff, and I just started memorizing stuff. And I got to this point where I was like, I want to try and see if I can play up front for Vespers or something. And I remember they asked me, they're like, hey, do you want to play for Friday night? We're going to do these songs. And I was really scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I went up, and I remember thinking, I was like, I'm so unqualified to do this. I shouldn't be up here, you know. There's so many people that are way better than me, and yet they're giving me this chance. But I remember, even though I messed up a little bit and I was kind of like super like tense, I remember after I could see everybody that was singing and worshiping while we were playing. They weren't focused on what I was playing, but they were focused on the God they were worshiping. And I was just amazed at the opportunity that God had given me to help these people worship. And so Union College is a very special place because the teachers, the staff, like Tyler Morrison and them, they share a light to you that enlightens you. The students here, like the ones that asked me to play, they were not telling me, hey, you have to be this good to play. They were showing me and giving me an opportunity, and I saw Jesus in them. And so the two verses that I read, the first one, the second one from Acts, I don't know if you guys know the story of Stephen. He was considered the first martyr of the church. And we lift him up so much, so many times. We say, you know, this man was amazing. He died for Christ. And even in his death, he said, Father, don't remember their sins. Because basically they don't know what they do. Same as Jesus said. And yet, if you read the story, Stephen, his task at first was not something big. That there was this problem in the church, and they kind of just gave him a task. It wasn't a small task, but it was more to deal with day-to-day church problems so the apostles could go out and preach. But Stephen saw this as an opportunity to share God's character. And so we see in that verse that the council looks at him, and they saw the face of an angel when he was talking, and they could not take their eyes off of him. And I think that's amazing that's the purpose of Union. You see, the people like Tyler Morrison and the staff, people like Pastor Rich, they're here not to tell us what to do, but they're here to share a light. And I thought that was amazing because the fact that we can share that same light to other people was something beautiful. And the other verse that I read was about Moses and his story. And this also inspired me because so many times we think we can't share that light because we don't have enough talents. We think that we can't share the light because we're not there yet in our spiritual walk. And that's what Moses thought. You see, God told them, if you read that whole story, this narrative, he kept talking back. He's like, look, you're going to deliver these people. I have chosen you. And Moses would say, oh, but this and this. And then God said, wait, but I'm going to help you. And then he said, but this and this. And this is the point where Moses just says, look, I'm not a good speaker. I can't do this. And many times we say, you know, oh, but that's why God brought him Aaron, you know, so people can help us. And it's true. Aaron helped them, and we should ask people for help. But if you read, after Moses said that, and after God told them, you know, do you not know who makes the blind blind and those who are mute mute and who made the mouth and those who see, you know, do you not know that's me? God was telling him that I'm going to help you. He was trying to give him that straight opportunity. He wasn't saying, oh, okay, do you not know that I'm going to bring Aaron for you and I'm going to help you? No, he was telling him, I'm going to make you capable somehow. It doesn't say how, but he said, I'm going to be able to relate this message despite your faults. But Moses continued to deny it, and that's why he brought Aaron in. But you see, that's like many of us here, you know, sometimes we're afraid to share that light. That light that Stephen had, we have it in ourselves. We can share it to other people. But sometimes we're afraid because we think we're not good enough that, oh, my past, I did this in my past. I don't deserve to do this. But Union College has showed me through its people that God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. And he calls us to share that light with people. He calls us to do amazing things. And he says, hey, I know you might not be prepared, but I want to help you as much as you can. And that's one of the most beautiful things that I've learned here from Union.
Happy Sabbath, church. I know we already prayed, but I want to pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for bringing us all here. And I just ask you that you let these words be yours and not mine. And I thank you so much for using Jose Miguel and the speakers this morning. And we ask you to please be with me and with the speaker that follows me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so my name is Amber Fellers. I'm a junior elementary education major. I'm originally from Colorado, born and raised Denver, Colorado. Woo. And Union has been my dream since I was 9 years old. I went to Glacier View Ranch, which is a summer camp in Colorado. And my counselor that year, the first year that I was there, was from Union. And a lot of the staff that work at the summer camps come from the colleges like Southern and Union. And so after I finished that year at GVR, and as I continued going back each summer, I just wanted to know more and more about Union. And after I got adopted, I wanted to know even more, and it just made Union be put up on a pedestal in my life. Union was on this pedestal in my life. So my junior year of high school, the summer before that, I came to visit Union, and I just fell in love with the campus and with everything that was here. There were no people here, but like just the ambience, the surrounding, how beautiful it was here at Union, I fell in love. So senior year of high school came around and I started applying for colleges, and I applied for Union and I got accepted. And so I'm like, oh, okay, well, I don't need to apply for anywhere else. And I got my little box that Jose talked about, and I was so happy, so thrilled. But then March of my senior year came around, and I didn't think I was going to be able to go to Union. Union is very expensive, and I was not prepared for it. So March, I started applying for community colleges and getting accepted to those because I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. That pedestal is too far for me to reach. It's not accessible. It's just a pedestal. And so when I walked in my high school graduation, what was read was that I was going to Union College, but I didn't believe that that's what was happening. So summer happened, I worked, I had a party, and I got tons of donors that donated money for me. So that summer, on August 12th, I came to Union, and I still couldn't believe it. I was here, and God provided all the funds for me for that freshman year. The donors that were there are still providing, and that's why I am blessed to say that I am still at Union. But when I got here, I was so homesick. I cried every single night for like the first 2 weeks. And then I saw a poster or something, I don't know, but I met Dr. Kurt, and I got introduced to band, and he's like, come audition for me. I've been playing flute since I was in fourth grade, and so I was like, oh, this is college band. This is Seventh-day Adventist band. Can I really do this? Like, is he really going to accept me? And now I stand here in front of you guys as first chair of the flute section, and so I obviously got it. But I didn't think that I was qualified for that. So after joining band, I met Leslie Lopez, and she introduced me to Tracy. And Tracy was a senior my freshman year. She was getting ready to get married. She was getting ready to graduate. But she ran this amazing program called Christ on Demand. And she had asked me to come and speak and come and be involved with Christ on Demand. And she was looking, I didn't know at the time, but she was looking for someone to take over. So sophomore year of college started, and I officially had Christ on Demand as something that was mine. And I was so incredibly blessed. I had an amazing team that was there to help me. And this year I have another amazing team. And this year we have a theme called Trusting in God. And I think that's really why God called me to Union, is to show me how to trust in him. And a few weeks ago, I had a student speak for Christ on a Man. Her name is Sally Tonkin. And she used an amazing analogy that I want you guys to do. So if you can all close your eyes for me, please. I'm going to have you imagine something. Close them, please. Okay. Picture that it's really stormy and you're outside and you're getting soaked. It's like a hurricane. There's rain everywhere. And it's crazy. So you call for a taxi because you need to get someplace. And you finally get a taxi and you get in and the taxi car starts driving. And you are looking out the window of the taxi cab and there's wrecks left and right. There's chaos. There's buildings and it's just a mess outside. But then you stop and you look up at the taxi driver. He's calm. He's cool. He's collected. And you see that the taxi driver, even though the chaos is going on around you, is driving in a straight line. You are safe. And you come to this realization that you are safe. You can open your eyes now. But that taxi driver is God. And God's taxi has bright lights, and it has good tires, and it has perfectly not squeaky windshield wipers to protect from all the rain and hurricane that you're going through. And I just am constantly blessed by the people at Union and so blessed to have Christ on Demand. And so I just want to read a couple verses with you. This year, with our Trusting in God theme, our theme verse is Jeremiah 17:7, which says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." And now that I'm here at Union, I finally feel like I'm able to trust in God and build more on trusting with God. And the verse that I want to leave you with is my favorite verse, but it's Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Thank you, guys.
Good morning and happy Sabbath, church family. Okay, I'll take that one. That one's on me. You guys don't know my rule. My rule is that we should treat the church less like a library and more like a place of praise. So can I get a happy Sabbath? Mercy. I'll get you guys going. Don't you worry. Start off with a word of prayer real quick. Father God, I praise you for this wonderful opportunities that we're given here at church to meet our family again after being away for a while. And I praise that you bless each and every one of us as we continue with this worship service, and that you move our hearts and our minds, Lord. In your name, amen. Don't think I'm going to forgive you, Pastor Rich. I saw what you did. You put Jose and Amber right after each other, then have to follow up after the amazing violin duet. I appreciate that. This summer, I had the opportunity to work as a counselor at Camp Cahuta Springs. It was an amazing experience there, but it was definitely hard. One of my favorite stories, not at the time, but looking back, was this one kid named Timmy. For a counselor, the most stressful part of the day is after campfire. How the day typically goes is, towards the end, you have supper, and then after supper, depending on how quickly you clean up, if you have slow group, it can be a bit of a stressful moment. But how quickly you clean up determines how quickly you get back to the cabin. So I like to have our people clean quickly so we can get back to the cabin, and I'd have all of our little people, I don't know what to call them, they're kids. All the kids get all their stuff out for their showers, change of clothes, shampoo, everything, the whole nine yards, out after we eat. And then after that, we go to fun times, which is like a recreational period for the kids where they can go and play capture the flag or whatever it is that week. And after that, we go back to the cabin and we get ready for line call. It's basically a time for everyone to make sure that everyone's there, everyone's together, everyone's present, everyone's accounted for. And then after line call, you go to campfire. Don't be fooled. There's no fire, unfortunately. It's just a worship service that we have in the evening. And after campfire, we're dismissed based on how quiet we are. The quietest cabin goes first. I'm a man of efficiency, typically, so my boys never talked after campfire. And so we typically get dismissed pretty close to the front, and this is the most stressful time period for a counselor. Because from the end of campfire, you have 45 minutes until it's lights out. And the village director would walk by and make sure everyone's good, and the nurse would pass out meds, and you'd make sure you're good for the night. But you have 45 minutes. In that 45-minute time period, you're expected to have every kid showered. There's two showers in the cabin. Every kid has to have their teeth brushed. Every kid has to memorize their power passage for the next morning. And I have to share a devotional to end the evening. So that's the amount of stuff we have to do in 45 minutes. And so we get back to the cabin, and the kids are numbered from 1 to 10. That way it's quick in case you're ever leaving someplace like the calf or an activity, so you can have them sound off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's a lot quicker than counting them. So everyone has their number. So I get in the cabin immediately. I'm like, all business. I'm like, 1 and 2 in the shower. 9 and 10, brush your teeth. Everyone else, come over here. We're going to learn the power passage. I had this one kid named Timmy in my cabin this week, and Timmy was like me. He was a bit distracting at times. So sometimes you had to be intentional with Timmy. So the next day, we had to recite our power passage at line call. So I'm like, you know what? Timmy didn't do too well yesterday, but today I'm going to make sure he knows his power passage. So everyone else is learning their power passage that I have posted on the wall. But I'm like, hey, Timmy, come out here for me real quick. So we sit on the porch. I'm like, here, Timmy, here's my personal copy of the power passage. I had one that I hung and one that I kept. This was the one that I kept. I'm like, here, Timmy, I need you to read this, memorize it, and by the time it's time for your shower, I want you to have at least 2/3 of it done. You know, I'm not going to be like super strict. You don't have to have all of it done. Just have most of it done. And he looked at me. He nodded. He gave me a thumbs up. He's like 10, maybe. I'm like, okay, seems easy, but we'll see what happens. So I go back in, and then by this time, 3 and 4 are in the shower, and things are progressing, and it's been about 5 minutes later, and it's Timmy's turn for a shower. I'm not going to lie. I said a little prayer before I went out there. I'm like, Timmy, tell me you got something good. Tell me you've got something memorized. Can you raise your hand if you're a parent? We got a lot of parents around us today. And while I wasn't a parent, counseling is kind of similar. So you know when your kid says your name in that kind of voice, you know it's not going to be good, right? Like they say it, and like you're like, oh, this is not going to be good at all. So he looks at the paper, looks at me, looks back at the paper. He said, ski, which is what I went by there. He said, ski. I said, yes, Timmy. He said, I don't know how to read. Yeah, he's 10, so I kind of took it for granted he knew how to read. But what I'm talking today about is growth, spiritual growth. There are two things that are important to look at when you talk about growth. The first thing is that growth is circumstantial. Depending on what circumstance you are in, depends on what growth is defined as. For example, if any of you are from Florida, you might be a fan of the Miami Dolphins. Growth for them would be winning a single football game. Not going 0-16. If you're a Dodgers fan, growth for you might be realizing which pitcher not to put in the playoffs. Yeah, Kershaw gave up a couple runs there, but that's not important. If you're failing a class, growth for you would be getting a 75 on a test. If you're a drug addict, growth for you would be resisting to take the hit after a long day. But it's not growth if it stops there. It's just a single isolated event. The second important distinction about what growth is growth is continual towards an end goal. So growth is not just getting a 75 on that test, but it's continuing to do well. It's getting an 85 on the next test, passing all your homework. For the Dolphins, it's not going 1-15, it's reaching the playoffs. There are three things I found here at Union that I'd like to share with you guys. three things that are essential to spiritual growth. They're displayed in the story of the prodigal son found in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I'm not going to read it to you, but I will paraphrase. But if you do care to follow along, it's in the book of Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Some context for the situation is the Pharisees came up to Jesus and they're like, look at this man. He draws sinners unto him. Look at Jesus hanging around all these bad people. What kind of man is this? And without addressing the Pharisees directly, Jesus launches into a series of three parables. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. The second is the parable of the lost coin. And the third, the one we'll be talking about today, is the parable of the prodigal son, or the lost son. To give you a little context of the situation, because I don't want to read it to you, a father has two sons. He has an older son and a younger son, and the younger son came upon this realization in his head that his father was holding him back. He thought to himself, my father won't let me go to these parties. My father won't let me do this. My father won't let me do this. This is the worst. I can't do it anymore. And so he goes to his father and put bluntly, he says, I wish you were dead. You're useless and you're worthless. Just give me my money. Give me my money. Money he isn't deserving of. But the father gives it to him anyways. It's a story for another time. But the father gives him the money anyways. And the Bible says he journeyed to a faraway land and wasted it on a lavish living. Lavish lifestyle. He wasted it. And as money works, if you spend but don't make, you run out. So here the son is, he's got no friends because his friends were bought by money, which he doesn't have anymore. He has no place of living. He has no hope. And he can't go back to his father because he told him he wishes he was dead. So after a while of thinking, the son's like, you know what, I'll just work somewhere. I'll find a job. How hard can it be? And long story short, we don't know how long he looked for, but I imagine it was a while before he took this job. He was a farmhand at a pig's pen. Nasty work. He didn't feed the pigs, he ate with the pigs. He didn't clean up after the pigs, he lived with the pigs. And the Bible isn't clear on this, but I imagine he was there for quite a while. And as he's sitting there wallowing in filth, eating what the pigs eat, he thinks to himself, okay, I've messed up with my father pretty bad. Like, he's not going to take me back as a son, but maybe, just maybe, there's a chance he'll take me back as one of his servants. Maybe I can be a slave to the father, because it's not ideal, but it's definitely better than this. My father knows how to take care of people. And so he gathered up this speech. I don't know how long he worked on it, but he worked on this speech in his head. He's like, okay, I'm going to go there. I'm going to tell him this. I'm going to tell him that. I'm going to justify myself to my father for why I am the way I am. Might I present, that's one thing that's holding us back from spiritual growth, my friends. We seek to justify ourselves when there is no justification. What does a preacher have to do to get an amen? We seek to justify ourselves when there is no justification. We seek for excuses when there are none. Every second the son wasted in that pig pen was a second he wasted away from the father. A second he spent living in a worse life than he could have had. In the beginning, if you recall, the son journeyed to a faraway land. Therefore it goes, he has to journey back a far distance. And so as he's journeying back to his father, I imagine he's thinking over and over about what he's going to say, what he's going to say, what he's going to say. So the Bible says he finally arrives home. He finally gets to this place of destination he's been looking for. But something interesting happens. The father sees him from a far way off. Indicative of the fact that the father was looking for the son the whole time. And as the son is coming down this road, the father sees him from a far way off. And he runs to the son, falls on his neck and kisses him with compassion. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand the significance of this. This is the only time in the entire scripture that the Lord of creation is seen as rushed. It is the only time God is seen as in a hurry. He wasn't hurried to make the world. Creation took him a full week, 6 days, but he rested on the seventh. He didn't hurry down to the cross of his only son as he died. He didn't even rush to the tomb to resurrect Christ. The only time God is seen running is to run to you. The only time he's seen hurried is to hurry to get to you. The three things I found at Union are the three things that the Father gives to the Son after he returns home. The first thing the Father says is, let us give our Son a robe. Let us give him a robe. Isaiah 61:10 talks about a robe of righteousness that Christ gives us. Being made new, a robe of righteousness. You say, Jared, how did you find your robe here at Union? It's simple. It's through community. I found my robe through community. Something I'm a strong believer in is surrounding yourself with successful people. Be around people that are better than you. Push yourself continually. So here I've done just that. I surround myself with people that are better than me, people that are smarter than me, people that have the one goal that I have. We're all different majors. We all have different career aspirations. But the same goal that we all have is to get to heaven and to bring as many people with us as possible. That's the goal. And suddenly when you're around people that the only goal they have is to get to heaven and to bring others with them, it doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter the shame you have. It doesn't matter the bad things you've done. Because let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, everyone is looking forward. No one is looking behind them. Everyone's looking forward to the cross, forward to the second coming of Jesus, forward to ministering to others. No one has time or energy to look back. It's when you surround yourself with people that are so focused on in front, that's when you realize behind doesn't matter. And that is how you get your robe of righteousness. And may I submit to you, it's the first step of spiritual growth, and it's the first thing I found here at Union. The second thing that the Father gives to the Son is a ring, the family seal. To us, that doesn't mean too much, but back then it was a symbol of power and authority. For instance, an applicable thing would be having the last name of someone. So, for example, if I was the son of Will Smith, I'd be allowed on pretty much any movie set anywhere I wanted. Not because of me, but because of the respect they have for my father, Will Smith. If I was the son of quarterback Drew Brees, I'd be allowed on any football field in America. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what my father has done. So the son comes home, he gets a robe, and he gets a ring. You say, Jared, how have you found your ring here at Union? I'll tell you, it's through opportunity. It's through opportunity. It's fair to say that Union was definitely not my path of least resistance. It's definitely not to say that it was the easiest choice I could have made or the best college I could have gone to, but it's the college I wanted to be at despite all the hindrances and obstacles. The thing I love so dearly about Union is that it's a college built and made for the individual. Is a college built and made for the individual. What that means is there's opportunities everywhere, my friends. Moments like now, moments like Harvey's Harvest, Agape Feast, Praise and Worship, The Well, all of our music performances, there's opportunities everywhere to become involved. Faith without works dies. My friends, I found my power, I found my authority in Christ. And the opportunities he's given to me here. Remember the second thing about growth is progressive towards an end goal. My friends, how are you going to grow if you sit in the same place every week? I've asked myself that question many times. How am I supposed to grow if all I do is sit in church, leave church, and sleep? How am I supposed to grow? My friends, it requires action. So the father gives the son a robe, a ring, and sandals. Sandals, back then, were worn by everybody but one type of people. There's one type of people that you would never find wearing sandals. And that, my friends, were the slaves. The slaves didn't wear sandals. And so when the father gives the son his sandals, what he's telling him is, you're no longer a slave to what's bound you before. I've made you new. Not only have I made you new, I've set you free. You're no longer bound by what used to hold you. You can live a new life with my power, authority, and righteousness. So, Jared, how have you found your sandals here? It's very clear, my friends, through mentorship. Through mentorship. Through people like Trevor and Jose Miguel, and people like Buell, and people like Pastor Rich, people that mentor you and lead you to something better than what you are today. Let me be clear with you, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one criteria for someone who can mentor you. They don't have to be richer than you, they don't have to be smarter than you, they don't have to be better than you, they don't have to be faster than you. They only have one criteria to mentor you, to lead you. That is to be called. That is to be called. That is the only criteria that I need for them to have to lead me. They don't have to be taller than me. They don't have to be smarter than me. They don't have to make better grades than me. I don't care about any of that. Because my main goal, the one goal that we all have, is to get to heaven and bring others with us. Mentorship, it's invaluable, my friends. It's invaluable. There are three things that you can find here at Union: a robe of righteousness, a ring of authority and power, and to be broken from your chains. Not all of us live at Union, unfortunately. But there are three things you guys who don't live at Union can do to experience spiritual growth. The first thing I urge you to do is find people around you that are successful. I'm not saying people that make more money than you. I'm not saying people who drive nicer cars than you. I'm not saying people who are above you. Find someone called. Find a group of people. Find a family where they have one goal, and that goal is to make it to Christ and to bring as many with them as possible. The second thing I urge you to do, get involved. Do something. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be great. It doesn't have to be preaching. Not everyone's meant to play piano. Not everyone's meant to play violin. But I guarantee you this. In a life that is unsure and wavering, there's one certainty. God has given you gifts, and He has called you to use them. Find them. Get involved. Find a family and a community whose goal is the same, to get to heaven. The third thing I find you and urge you to do is to find a mentor. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old or how young your mentor is. Find someone who can show you through their life that they can break the chains through Christ. Find someone that's an example to you. Because this life is long and it's hard and it's tough. And without a light and without a person, without a mentorship, it can be tough to get through the weeks, the months, the years. Find someone who can lead you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, even leaders need leaders. Whether you're here at Union or whether you're from far away, do three things. Find a community with the same goals as you. Become involved in any way possible. And find someone that can help show you that these chains are breakable.